one thing on public record. Everybody understands this process. You heard a while ago Councilman Ouellette talking about people inviting him down to look at this and talk about it and look things over and go to lunch, and that's all great. Keep in mind, the only thing that this council will use to make their decision on is the public record of planning and zoning's hearing and this public record. All the lunches you have, all the things you want to talk on the telephone, that's fine. You can do all that. That does not enter into the decision-making process. It's only the public record at the two hearings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was going to remind everybody that at the conclusion of the hearing, so it's worthwhile to do it now.
That's why he's president.
Mr. Sergevic.
He knows the rules, I think. John does.
Good afternoon. My name is John Sergevic. I'm with the law firm Sergevic, Carbine, Weidman, McCarthy, and Owens, and we represent the Lewis Partnership for Managing Growth. It's a citizens group of both Lewis residents and people outside of Lewis, but affected by what happens around Lewis. And the design of my client is to promote orderly growth. Before I get into my spiel, I'll just tell you what how we're going to proceed. My client has its own traffic expert, who's Mike Lenhart, and he will speak to some problems that the applicant's presentation lacks, particularly under a very cogent section of the Sussex County Ordinance dealing with the rezonings in the environmental sensitive district, which is 115-194. Mr. Kelly, Joe Kelly, who's an attorney, will also talk on the legal impact on having no current traffic impact study based on his experience with some litigation in Newcastle County, and also the preference for wellhead protection covenants. John Matico, who's the president of the Lewis Partnership for Managing Growth, or I'll just call it LPMG, it's shorter, will talk about the overview opposition to this application compared to the proposals we submitted at Planning and Zoning. Also part of the Lewis Partnership for Managing Growth is Dennis Crawford. He's kind of the chief spokesperson for all the various communities on Gills Neck Road that will be most adversely impacted by this proposal. With that said, the developers explained that this project, or an enlarged commercial project area, is the culmination of its vision from converting its 50 or more years of agriculture use into an integrated residential communities, culminating with the commercial shopping center. However, the spokespersons from the developments created, Senators, Wolf Run, Wolf Point, Breakwater Beach, Hawkeye, and Cadbury, will all speak to the point that that long-range plan was never disclosed to those people in the marketing of those subdivisions and multifamily developments. At the planning and zoning hearing, LPMG offered to support a smaller conditional use to serve the actual residents along Gills Neck, the Gills Neck corridor, meeting their projected service and retail needs of no more than 20,000 square feet. Mr. Matika will speak to that as to how many square feet you actually need to serve those residents. It's only 20,000. It's not 75,000. For 75,000, you have to bring people off area into the center. And that data is there. At the planning and zoning hearing, I pointed out at least two or more benefits to moving the village center closer to the heart of the residential enclaves developed by the town, Mr. the Townsend Corporation developer and its related affiliates. One, if the commercial village center was moved closer to the heart of the enclave, the announced goal of the applicant to make the village center accessible by pedestrian and bike users would be better met. I have a 72-year-old sister who's taken over my mother's house, which was one of the first houses in Wolf Run. My 72-year-old sister is not going to walk from Wolf Run to a center at the intersection of Gill's Neck and Kings Highway. The people I know in Breakwater, other people I know are not going to walk that far. People are not going to walk from Schofield to this center. People aren't going to walk from Wolf Point to this center. People aren't going to walk from Bay Breeze to this center. It's not walkable in its location. If the village center was moved away from the Lewis Wellhead protection, with a little, perhaps even no realignment, the plan to have a commercial center to serve the residents of Gill's Neck Road could be better accommodated. As recommended by DNRAC in the PLUS report, relocation would also make it practical and feasible to convey all the parking lot water out of the 5-year wellhead protection zone. A realignment would also give the county council and the residents in the area some assurance that the scaling back of the scope of the commercial project by the developer from some place first around 500,000 square feet reduced to 300, reduced down to 220 is a reality, and that they are committed to only 7,500 square feet of commercial space over all the acreage they control along Kings Highway. There are no assurances. The developer has ignored LPMG's proposal and that of the city of Lewis and the Lewis Board of Public Works to A, scale back the scope of the complex, to submit the conditional use approval, move the project away from the Kings Highway to protect the Lewis Wellhead Protection Area, avoid placing a commercial use as an attractive nuisance to the Cape Henlopen students, and avoid the traffic congestion by adding 7,500 square feet, two traffic lights, one at Clay Road and Kings Highway, the other at the Cape Henlopen School District. There's 0.3 mile. That is a invitation to a parking lot. Additionally, in order to service 75,000 square feet of retail use, the developer has to bring people out of the area into the area, which will just add congestion. Also, the developer's own hydrologist says in its report that you cannot have a gasoline station, dry cleaning, or a big retail box. That's the only thing that supports that hydrologist or geologist's statement that the wellheads can be protected because those uses have to be prohibited. The only way those uses can be prohibited by county council action is not granting a B1 zone, because you have no assurances that no gas station will be there, that no dry cleaner will be there, that no big box retailer will be there. The only way you can get that protection is by saying, deny, come back and ask for a conditional use. The proposed scale back and relocation by my client and the city is the only viable way for any commercial land to provide for the needs of the current and future residents of the developments the applicant and the related developers have created in the Gills Neck Road corridor without causing detrimental impacts to the health, safety, moral convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the current and future inhabitants of Sussex County, the criteria that guides a rezoning under the state statute. The Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval without the safeguards afforded by the proposals of my client and those of the City of Lewis. And those proposals were designed to meet the potential commercial needs for the residents and communities only on Gills Neck Road. And only those residents and using just a smaller center would prevent congestion in the streets. A larger center is going to invite customers outside of the Gills Neck corridor into the proposed shopping center. By locating the main entrance on Kings Highway and Clay Road with a signalized intersection, this potential for stepped or domino B1 applications on the remaining 55 acres on Kings Highway Lane going into the town of Lewis and the 34 or 37 acres owned by the applicant on the lane going to Route 1 is the logical progression of development applications which this county council is going to hear. Once you have the one granted, as Mr. Cole pointed out, I've represented developers, and the argument's going to be it's infill rezoning. So, and speaking of the lack of infill rezoning, if you look at the uses that have been approved along Kings Highway by the county, they're all specialized uses for existing land applicants that the county council do. Gallo Realty, Russ Palmer, and other people who sought rezonings. They're local people, and everybody knew that all they were going to do is put up their real estate office or put up their builder's office. There is not, and also at this point, I'd just like you to remind the county council, you really should go back and look at the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission for the denial of the recommendation of denial for CZ 1690, which is dated October 14th, 2009. Compare those recommendations to the recommendations of this Planning and Zoning Commission on this application. They are in stark contrast to each other. The previous application said all of the current uses were very localized and regional. This application says they're all compatible. Planning and zoning can't say this different things about the same neighborhood in two different applications, notwithstanding the reduction or the asserted reduction from 2,200 square feet or more to 75 without the applicant submitting something to the county that says this is the plan for the rest. They can't sit there and say we have no plans. They told you in their application that this is the culmination of 30 years of planning. They can't say on the one hand we have this plan, and then all of a sudden when they were rejected by the county for the larger scope, which this council denied back in 2009, they can't say, okay, we're going to come in now and only say 7,500, but we're not going to tell you what the rest of our, how many acres they control. It's just impractical to say that. The LPMG also request the county to fully consider this application under the directions given by the proposed, given for the proposed land use, a B1 zoning under the 2008 Comprehensive Development Plan. The plan at pages 315 through 415 addresses the environmentally sensitive development areas in which the proposed B1 project is located. As to the permissible land use, the plan states retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to select locations with access to arterial roads. While the Planning and Zoning staff report and the Planning and Zoning Commission found compliance with the above quoted text, the land use plan text does not support a large shopping center in this location. The P&Z rationale, if you read their minutes, for recommendation approval, omits but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined. And a big legal debate I'm having with the applicant is the real meaning of the arterial road leading from Route 1 to the town of Lewis. If you read the text, and Mr. Robinson read it already, read the text of Sussex County Code Section 99-5 definition, arterial road, Part G. The road defined is not King's Highway. It's Savannah Road. The definition says from Route 1 to the southwest corner of the town of Lewis. The southwest corner from Route 1 is Savannah Road. King's Highway does not start at Dartmouth. King's Highway starts where it starts at Route 1 south of Dartmouth. Okay, that Route 1 goes to the southeast corner of the town of Lewis. Just look at a Lewis map, look at the two definitions. And the text of the ordinance is specific to the southwest quarter of the town of Lewis, not the southeast corner. Also, the planning and zoning staff claims that the 2008 future land use map addresses this area and shows the area to be in the environmental sensitive district. I've looked at the future land use map published on the website. This area on the published website future map calls this area or maps it as low density, not environmentally sensitive. It's addressed as environmentally sensitive in the ordinance text, but not on the future land use map. And it's also my understanding, based upon certain Chancery Court decisions, that compliance with the state mandate that we comply with the comprehensive plan is for the county. It's the maps that is the critical area, not the text of the ordinance. The P&Z rationale for its recommendation does not address, and the applicant's engineering report, which is tab 6 or exhibit 6 of their original booklet, does not meet the requirements of a rezoning application, first of all, the Planning and Zoning Commission didn't even address how the application met the mandates of Sussex County Code Section 115-194-3ES1, which is the requirements for a rezoning application and certain site plans and other items if you're developing or proposing development in the environmentally sensitive district. First of all, the plan or the text requires the site plan. They have not provided a site plan with the details required by the sections. There is no actual drainage design provided. Section A, the section starts with Section B, application process, all rezonings in the environmentally sensitive district shall be subject to the process and performance required as described hereafter. A, or 2A, the applicant shall submit an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation support and sketch plan report. The sketch plan shall address the following issues for the property to be developed. The only thing you see on their sketch plan is a couple of proposed buildings and a proposal for the area immediately to the, I have a compass problem with King's Highway, but it would be the property between King's Highway and the approved governor's project. That's the only thing their site sketch plan shows. Look and have your attorneys address what's required by section 115-194-3ES1. There are specific requirements, and I don't believe the applicant's presentation meets those criteria. B, there is no full report or an adequate report on the effect on public or private water systems and groundwater. That's not in their engineer's report. They have a hydraulic report that talks about protection of the wellhead, but that's conditioned upon prohibiting gasoline stations. They have not submitted anything to the county that actually prohibits them from installing a gasoline station. They haven't even offered a restrictive covenant. Typically, that's what an applicant would do. They haven't done this in this application. We don't know, sitting here, and J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company Inc. has been around for a long time, but we don't know that company will not decide that, wait a second, let's just sell everything and restart as a farming operation someplace else. We don't know that. The county council can't know that. So the county council can't know that any potential buyer or other developer is not going to install gasoline stations, is not going to install dry cleaning establishments. The only way you can get that guarantee and enforce it is by saying no, come back, we'll give you a conditional use, and in the conditional use process, we can impose those restrictions. You can't in a B1 rezoning. There is no actual or analysis of all the effects on the quality of groundwater and surface water in their presentation. And that's required in the rezoning application under that section. They cannot wait till site plan review. Read the ordinance, Those materials are supposed to be in the rezoning application. As far as D, with respect to traffic, Mr. Lenhart's here and he'll explain in detail why their traffic reports don't comply with the traffic provisions of that subsection. There is no provision in the required site plan of the proposed B1 project showing a buffer of open space as required under 1154 definition open space of the county ordinance, because you're supposed to show in your rezoning application the buffer of open space between your commercial space and the adjoining property. There's no provision for the impact on traffic from the proposed shopping center on the private road infrastructure of governors and senators. You'll hear from the people from governors and senators that all these properties are interconnected. There's no showing on how much maintenance cost is going to be incurred by those private communities who have private roads that are going to be impacted by traffic from the center. There is no statement of the economic impacts on the residential communities most impacted by the rather large proposed shopping center compared to the existing uses along Kings Highway, or the economic impacts on the existing merchants on Kings Highway and the impacted merchants within the town of Lewis. There is no discussion of the impacts of the shopping center on property outside the sites listed on the National Register of Historic Plans. In other words, the plan says, is this listed on the National Historic Register? No, this isn't. But this shopping center has an impact on properties that are so listed. There is no affirmation or inadequate affirmation that the proposed rezoning is in full compliance with the current Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan, which I've already addressed. And there is no actual showing of proper mitigations of the detrimental impacts which occur under subsection B2, 1 through J.
Mr. Serga, before you go further, I need to clear up something for the benefit of council. Because before you referenced in our comp plan that you stated that we left out some important phrases, and you just recited the requirements for the environmentally sensitive development district. Those requirements, you're correct, apply to all rezoning, subdivision, business, and industrial site plans, but only if they involve one or a combination of the following. And there's four things that are listed, and those four things are a residential planned community, which this is not, a development containing 50 or more dwelling units, which this is not, a development containing 75,000 square feet or more of floor area used for commercial industrial uses. This can't be that because it's limited to 75,000. It can't exceed that. Or any use or activity that requires a permit in the coastal zone, which this is not. So I just want the record to be clear that the code speaks for itself as to whether or not we've got to go through that application process. And because one of those four wasn't triggered here, we didn't need to go through that assessment.
No disrespect, but I'm reading this application and I'm reading the code section as being applicable because this is a 75,000 square foot commercial center. Whether it's, you know, if you want to, if that is the intent of the code, that somebody can duck that requirement in the environmentally sensitive district by saying, no, I'm going to go. This is my first B1 application. I'm not going to tell you about the second B1 application, but I don't have to file the requirements for the environmentally sensitive district in my application. you're creating a loophole for a developer, which I don't think is intended by the code provisions.
And I hear what you're saying, but I also don't want to suggest that this was mandatory to go through that process.
Well, I believe that that is a cogent point of law that the county should address in whatever is going to happen with respect to this application.
Understood.
With that said, I would just kind of close on a very important point. The county should that the county's being the applicant is representing to the county council that I've scaled back. I went from 220,000 from 331,000, and the only thing I want is 75,000 square foot of retail space. If that is the applicant's representation to the county should not act until it has a firm commitment to that limitation as to the rest of the lands controlled by the applicant and owned by the applicant in this corridor of the Kings Highway. Otherwise, the next thing that's going to happen is a year down the road, 2 years down the road, we're going to get a different application. Maybe it's not a B1, maybe it's a conditional use, but we're going to gradually add and add and add until they get to what they say was the culmination of their 30-year plan. And their 30-year plan, according to them, was 530,000+ square feet of commercial space. With that said, unless you have any questions, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lenhart.
Questions of council?
Mr. Orlett. Just a real quick clarification, because I think what I was hearing from you was different than what I heard earlier on this council as it relates to US 9.
Again, I'm reading.
So I would like for you to clarify, actually.
Sure. I thought I already did. If you look at the definition.
Can we pull up a map?
The microphone, Mike, John.
I'm sorry.
Get close to one of
the. Do we have somebody? Can we pull up the map on the screen there by chance?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a map, but they're all the applicant's maps.
Yeah, you want to pull that up?
Excuse me. Bring's going to bring it up.
That would be great.
You need me to zoom in, Mr. Orlett?
I'm sorry?
Do you need me to zoom in, or is that?
Maybe a little, if you wouldn't mind.
Does that show the boundaries of the city of Lewis? Is that what that white
dash? That's what the white line represents. Mr. Robinson,
okay.
Is
in
City
Lewis.
Okay.
And again, I don't have one of those
pointers. It's
okay.
Mr. Serga, before you go forward, just Mr. Lardner's, I assume north is up. I don't see a north arrow on there. Just
I assume north is up. Most maps are.
North is up.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. So we're all.
North would be up. The Atlantic Ocean's over here. That would be east, correct? And the ordinance section definition that I quoted calls for the southwest corner of the town of Lewis.
Yeah.
If this is, that's the highway, but this road here is Savannah Road. That would be the southwest corner of the town of Lewis. The southeast corner is somewhere over here on Route 9, but it does not go from Dartmouth to the town limits. The ordinance section calls for Savannah Road going from Route 1 to the southwest corner. The southwest corner can't be the southeast corner. That's what the ordinance calls for as an arterial.
I must say, it looked to me very close between your east and west. It was about like this. I can't believe that's that close up there. We're south.
No, I'm just saying, the red line is the railroad, okay? Mm-hmm. The next road over, you can't see it, but it goes to the southwest corner of the city of Lewis. The next boundary, which is mm-hmm. actually, you have to go back because that's a current zoning map. of the town of Lewis, and they did some annexation. So at the time the ordinance was passed, I don't believe this section.
Watch the screen.
Was this section was actually annexing the town of Lewis. I might be wrong with that. I'm not exactly sure of the calendar dates between the ordinance adoption and the annexations by the town of Lewis.
And this is a Del Dot designation for our county.
This is the county designation.
County's designation.
County's designation.
But wasn't our county's designation relying on a state recognition of something?
The comp plan talks about an arterial road.
Right.
Okay. The arterial road is divided by the county. So you're comparing what the county code requirements are with its comp plan. So the county code requirement would determine how you comply with the comp plan. And what I've just described as the arterial road is the arterial road as defined by the Sussex County ordinance.
So Sussex County's arterial road can be different from Del Dot's, is what you're trying to tell me.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I'm saying the county code definition should be the definition used. I think we had the same debate in 2009.
Yes.
Red.
And I made the same presentation for a different version of my client, the different version. They just changed their names, but most of the people are the same.
It's an other argument.
The same argument was made there. Any other questions before we hear from Mr. Lenhart?
Question of council?
Thank
you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Lenhart?
Gene Morgan.
This is fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's get one of Janelle. I wasn't sure who had the record. Janelle and Mark.
Thanks, sir. And then I'll have